Welcome back, everyone, to the deep dive. Going through all this material on Puerto Rico that you send in this week, it really brings up a pretty big question for me. And it's about the 3.2 million American citizens living there and like what their actual rights and status are.
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head. We've been spending some time with these articles you sent us. And our mission today is to dig into that. What's going on? What does it mean to be an American citizen living in Puerto Rico right now in the 21st century when it seems like some pretty basic rights are missing?
Yeah, it is kind of mind-blowing when you stop and think about it. We're talking about American citizens, but it doesn't sound like they're being treated equally. It's almost like there are different levels of citizenship, and some people are getting a worse deal than others, especially when you look at some of those core democratic rights that seem to be missing.
Yeah, you're right. It's like a two-tier system almost. And it is kind of shocking, right? I mean, how can you have millions of American citizens today, in this day and age, who don't have the same basic rights as everyone else? That's the puzzle we're trying to solve here.
Okay, so let's try to break this down. What jumped out at me from all this stuff you sent was this huge inequality. People living in Puerto Rico can't vote for the president of the United States.
Right. That's a big one, right? And the article you sent puts it really bluntly. 3.2 million American citizens cannot exercise one of the most fundamental rights of democracy, voting for the president of the nation they belong to. That's a pretty powerful statement, wouldn't you say?
It is. I mean, wow. So that's like the core issue. They can't vote. What's the root cause?
Well, the articles point to one major thing, and that is Puerto Rico's status as an unincorporated territory. Now, we hear that term thrown around a lot, but what does it really mean in practice? How does that lead to this situation where citizens can't vote for president?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we hear it, but it's kind of confusing. Like, what does unincorporated territory actually mean for the people who live there?
Okay, so think of it this way. Puerto Rico is part of the U.S., right?
Yeah.
But it's not a state. It's in this separate category where it doesn't have all the same rights and protections as the 50 states. And that's a really important distinction because it means that the Constitution doesn't fully apply in the same way. And that's the legal and political reason behind a lot of these inequalities we're seeing.
So basically, the fact that it's a territory and not a state is what creates this different set of rules for people there.
Exactly. It sets them apart. And this difference, this special status, doesn't just affect the presidential vote. It also leads to some big economic disparities, which the articles you sent really highlight.
Right. Like, what are we talking about here? What are the practical consequences of this unincorporated status?
Well, one of the most glaring examples is that Puerto Rico gets less federal funding for things like Social Security and Medicaid compared to the states. So imagine you're an American citizen, but you're getting less support for health care and retirement just because of where you live.
Wow. Yeah, that makes a huge difference in people's lives. So their health care and social safety net are weaker.
Exactly. And the articles point out how this impacts the quality of life for a lot of people in Puerto Rico. I mean, it affects their health, their well-being, you name it.
Yeah, that's a pretty big deal. And on top of all that, there's also the issue of representation in Congress, or rather, the lack of it, which comes up a lot in the stuff you sent.
Oh, absolutely. And this one's really interesting because they do have a representative in Congress, right? It's called the Resident Commissioner.
Right, but what's the catch?
Well, they can speak in Congress. They can serve on committees. They just can't vote when it comes to passing laws.
Wait, what? They can't vote. So they have a voice, but no real power.
Pretty much. And that raises a huge red flag about basic democratic principles. I mean, how can you have citizens who are governed by laws that they had no say in creating?
Right, it's like taxation without representation all over again.
Exactly. And the articles do touch on the arguments that people have used to justify this whole situation. Like, constitutionally, how can they get away with this?
Yeah, what are they basing this on? And what do the articles say about that?
Well, the main argument from Congress, as laid out in one of the articles, is that since Puerto Rico is a territory and not a state, its people don't automatically have all the same rights as people living in the states. They're saying the Constitution doesn't apply equally. But the article pushes back on that pretty hard.
What does it say?
It basically says that that argument totally goes against the core values of equality that the U.S. Constitution is supposed to guarantee for all citizens. Their point is American citizenship should come with a baseline set of rights no matter where you live within the U.S.
Right. So it's like they're saying that the Constitution should protect everyone equally, no matter what.
Yeah. And so you have this tension, right? This clash between the ideal of equal rights for all citizens and the reality that people in Puerto Rico are facing.
Okay, so what's the solution? The articles talk about statehood as a way to address this discrimination. What are the arguments there?
Right, the articles suggest that if Puerto Rico were to become a state, that would solve a lot of these problems. They would get equal representation at Congress. They'd be able to vote for president. They'd have full rights and protections under the Constitution. Basically, it would level the playing field. But it's not that simple.
Why not? What's the holdup?
Well, for one thing, to become a state, the people of Puerto Rico have to vote for it. And so far, that hasn't happened. There's no clear majority for statehood on the island.
Interesting. And the articles also bring up another angle to all of this. You know, the idea that maybe there are political reasons why things haven't changed. Like, maybe it's not all about what the people in Puerto Rico want.
Yeah, there's definitely some speculation in the articles about political motivations. Like, maybe some folks on the mainland wouldn't want Puerto Rico to become a state because of how it might affect the balance of power, you know?
Right. Like, if it became a state, it would have its own senators and representatives, and that could shift things politically. But that's just one of the theories mentioned in the articles, right?
Right. It's just speculation. But it does make you think about all the factors involved here.
Totally. Okay, one last thing I got to bring up, because it really blew my mind when I read it. The articles talk about what they call invisible discrimination, and they're talking about the fact that if someone from Puerto Rico moves to one of the 50 states, they suddenly get all those rights they were missing before.
Right. That's a really powerful point. It highlights how messed up the situation is.
Yeah.
You know, it shows that the discrimination is tied to where you live, not who you are as a citizen.
Exactly. You can be born an American citizen in Puerto Rico, but as soon as you move to, say, Florida, you can vote for president. I mean, that makes it crystal clear that it's about location, not about citizenship.
And it really exposes the inequality of the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, why should anyone have to leave their home just to get the rights that they should already have?
It's a crazy thought, isn't it, that you have to physically relocate to get your full rights as an American?
Mm.
Wow. Okay, so to bring in a little bit of historical context, the articles use this really loaded phrase they call Puerto Rico, the last vestige of colonialism for the U.S. What does that mean in this context? I mean, they don't really go into a lot of historical detail, but what are they implying?
Yeah, it's a loaded phrase, for sure. I think they're suggesting that the relationship between the U.S. and Puerto Rico still carries echoes of that old colonial dynamic where a powerful country controls a territory and its people without giving them equal rights. You know, it's like a legacy of inequality that hasn't been fully addressed.
So to sum up everything we've learned, it sounds like there are some serious issues facing the 3.2 million American citizens in Puerto Rico. They can't vote for president. They get less funding for essential services. They have limited representation in Congress. And it all boils down to Puerto Rico's status as an unincorporated territory.
You got it. And the articles you sent make a strong case that this situation goes against the basic principles of equality and fairness that America stands for. They suggest statehood as a possible solution. But there are a lot of roadblocks to that. And there are also those political questions we talked about.
Yeah. And that whole thing about how moving to the mainland suddenly gives you all these rights is really telling. It highlights that this is about location, not about who these people are as citizens.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I think this whole thing about halfway citizenship really raises a lot of questions, especially in the 21st century. It makes you think about what equality truly means in America. You know, can a country really claim to be a beacon of freedom and justice when it denies basic democratic rights to millions of its own citizens simply because of where they happen to live?
It's a good question.
It is, and it really gets to the heart of what it means to be an American. It's about where we belong and how our location, our place in this country, affects the rights that we have. And I think that's something we all need to think about.
Well said.
Thank you for joining us for another deep dive. See you next time.
See you next time.